Hi, folks. This is Warren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 54. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars, amps, pedals, music, and all, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments and such on Facebook, not on the blog, not on the show notes. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. That's where you can, as I said, provide some feedback. And you can ask me questions on there too, as well as email me directly. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts, where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right, let's get to it. All right, so last week, well, it wasn't last week, but a week or so ago, we had the Indiana Guitar Show here in Indianapolis, and dealers from all over the place, as far as even Chicago and New York, were here to show their guitars and amps and pedals and gear and microphones and all sorts of different recording gear and all sorts of different things. So it was really cool, something I really look forward to. I remember going to my first one back in 92 in Indianapolis, and it seemed so huge. I think it was a bigger show. I think it was split up into like two different buildings at the fairgrounds, and it was really cool. I saw vintage guitars for the first time in person, and that was really pretty amazing. And then to see the prices of some of these guitars, it just kind of blew my mind. And so pretty much from then, I was pretty well hooked on learning about old gear and new gear and all sorts of different things. And there was a slight hiatus of the Indiana Guitar Show here for a while there. We didn't have the show, and I was always disappointed. I was always hoping for it, and it just wasn't there. But now it's back, and I'm very pleased. And I think hopefully all the dealers and the sponsor of the show, Roadworthy Guitars in Bloomington, that they all saw it as a success, and we continue it. I really enjoy the Indiana Guitar Show because, well, you know, it's not a far drive for me, as opposed to going to Columbus or Chicago or Cincinnati or, you know, any other town far away. You know, it takes a couple hours to drive to. And gas not being so cheap, and you know, the economy what it is, you know, we're all trying to watch our budgets. I prefer to just go here. But anyway, it was kind of nice because, well, I think it was especially nice because my wife got to go with me. It was her first guitar show. That we got to go and see. She got to go and experience it herself, and it was, you know, I don't think it was quite what she was expecting, but I think she enjoyed it. I thought, you know, sometimes you have expectations and they aren't met, but that's not a bad thing. It's maybe a good thing. So she got to see some pretty expensive old guitars and some, you know, cheap guitars and just some bargains and different things, and some handmade boutique basses that are just magnificent. But and of course I got to visit some old friends who have guitar shops here in town, and it was kind of neat. I hope they all did well. I think they did, from conversations I've had with some of them since the show. But one of the highlights of my experience there was we had gone through every booth and just kind of milled around a little bit, and we're getting ready to leave and just kind of scanning the area. And of course, if we had more time, we, you know, could just stay there all day. That'd be great, because things definitely change as more people come in and bring guitars on their own to buy, sell, and trade, or guitar equipment or whatever it may be. You know, it'd be good to be able to stick around there the whole time and check it out. But that's kind of why you get a booth, because standing around for that long kind of starts to hurt my feet and my back. I'm not as young as I used to be. And anyway, we're standing around there, and we're about ready to go, and I see this older couple, probably late 50s, early 60s couple, walking around with two brown Fender cases, and I say to myself, oh my, those are vintage Fender guitars, I bet. And I say, honey, we need to go talk to them. And so we walk over there, and the wife opens up one of the cases and pulls out a 1960 Fender Stratocaster, sunburst, with rosewood fretboard. And of course, there's a learning moment for me, because I didn't think that they made rosewood fretboards on Strats until 1962. But I guess I'm wrong, because apparently they started filtering them in about 58, 59, and certainly 60, because that was a 1960, and it was ultra cool. I'll post a photo of me at the guitar show with the guitar in hand and a big grin on my face going, oh my, this is insane. So, you know, I joked around with I talked with the woman a little bit, and as her husband was talking with other people who were probably more serious about purchasing the guitar, but she allowed me to hold the guitar and get a photo with it, and that was really cool for me. And I asked her what she was asking for it, and she said that they were taking offers, and then it was kind of a silent auction, so to speak, that at the end of the day, they'd go to the person who had the highest bid and everything. And I guess they're hurt. I guess like many people right now, they're hurting for money and wanted to, you know, were willing to let that go, which is sad, because he had that guitar since he was 12. And you'll see some of the wear and tear on the guitar. He said that all that had taken place by the time he had gotten the guitar. So it's really kind of interesting that the first several years of that guitar's life, it had already taken that much of a beating. But it was really cool. It felt really good to hold it. It was very light. It was a lot lighter than a new Strat off the shelf. It, all of its, the bare wood was kind of soft to the touch. It was a nice warm feeling guitar. It smelled really old and bad. I will say that it would need to be cleaned up. If there's any way to get rid of that smell, that'd be pretty good. But, I don't know enough about restoring old guitars. I wouldn't mind, if it were mine, I wouldn't hesitate to go in and start cleaning it up. I've cleaned up many guitars that smelled like butt. So, from the time whenever I first started working at a guitar store to now. That's part of what, how you can sometimes get a deal on a guitar is one that, not a guitar like that one, but say a guitar that maybe 10, 15 years old or something like that, that's not necessarily considered a vintage guitar, but everything's right on it, but it's really dirty and scummy, and maybe somebody just like, they don't want to deal with it. They just want to get rid of the guitar, and maybe you get a deal on it. Maybe you get it for like 20, 30, 40% less than what it really should go for, and then you clean it up and you have a gem. But back to the 1960 Strat, I was talking with the woman, and she was telling me the story basically and what was going on, and I was estimating in my head in the mid 20s, like $20,000 or so, for that particular guitar and its shape and everything, because later on I looked and it kind of confirmed what I was thinking, that actually I thought that it may be as high as $30,000, but later on I looked in the vintage guitar price guide and it said in perfect condition, $20,000 to $30,000, and none of those guitars are in perfect condition. So I'm not George Groon, so I don't, I wouldn't be able to just off the top of my head look and start pricing it. I overpriced it in my head just by looking at it. But with that knowledge, I was thinking that on the higher end, probably a $17,000 guitar, which, certainly I'm not buying it. I can't do that. But it was really cool to hold a guitar that was that had that, you know, that had that history and mojo. It was just really cool. And for that family's sake, I really hope that they got the best price that they could. I know that if they would have only gotten deals from dealers, or offers from dealers, I'm sorry, that I'm guessing that'd be around maybe $10,000 or $12,000, which is nothing to, you know, scoff at. I mean, that's quite a bit of money, but You know, selling it outright to a collector or whatever, you may be able, you know, I was hoping that would be the case, that they would get a collector and that they could get somewhere in that ballpark of 17, but I don't know. And, you know, if I would have been thinking on my toes at that time, gotten their information and said, just out of curiosity, I'd love to know what it went for. Who knows, in Vintage Guitar Magazine, they have updates to their price list, and so perhaps with that one selling, I keep my eye out on that, on the price list update, and see if a 1960 Strat value changes. Of course, it's on average for what it used to be, and then, you know, what the established value of one would have been, and then slightly modified by the purchase price of this one, if that makes any sense. So it may or may not affect the overall listing or the price, just because there are so many that have been sold before it to establish the baseline price. So that guitar was really, really cool. Something else that was really cool about the show was, you know, seeing the 70s guitars and the value of those going up, and then after seeing a lot of the dealers mill around, look around at other people's stuff, watching them compete against each other on their prices and lower their prices on certain guitars that were comparably priced to undercut the other guy. You know, that competition was kind of neat to see. I think, you know, they say that the Columbus Guitar Show, and I've been to that one, kind of the premier guitar show in the Midwest, and it's bigger. It's probably about twice the size of the Indiana Guitar Show, and more vintage guitars and stuff. And I saw George Groon there the first time we went, and that was really cool. But I'd say, you know, what from my experience, the Indiana Guitar Show may not be quite as big, but it is a very good guitar show. There was an Indianapolis Guitar Show a long time ago, and it was decent. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to go to any guitar show, really. But, you know, if I'm ranking them, I'd, you know, certainly say, if you get a chance to go to the Columbus Guitar Show, which is twice a year, Google Columbus Guitar Show, or I'll post links to it in the show notes, and links to the Indiana Guitar Show. If you're ever if you're in the Midwest, or even if you're in the area during that time, I'm pretty sure the Indiana Guitar Show is only once a year, but so that you can kind of keep track of when it is and schedule accordingly. And if you haven't been to a guitar show, and you're not necessarily a collector or whatever, and you really just want to learn more about guitars, or just interested in guitars and amps and such, I strongly recommend that you go to a guitar show and just look around and just take it in. Because there are a lot of things that you can learn from milling around a guitar center, or milling around a used guitar shop, or a small mom and pop shop that sells new guitars, or new and used, or whatever. There's a lot of things you can learn there about guitars by just looking at what's going on there, looking at the guitars and talking to the people that are there. You know, if you have the time to hang out and talk to the people, like more than just a one-time pass walk through the show and looking at all the booths, all the better. But at a guitar show, you're gonna get, it's kind of different, because you see how some of these other some of the other other guitar stores or dealers relate to each other or compare to each other, it's all right there. And of course, then there are some people who are there who only sell online and go to guitar shows, which I mean, that's part of the reality of the age we're living in, that we are an online society, and so much merchandise is bought and sold online anymore. There was a guy there I hadn't seen in maybe a dozen years who had a prominent guitar store on the south side, and then had one on another one on the north side, and then he closed up shop. And he was the first Paul Reed Smith dealer I had that I can remember in the Indianapolis area, back in the early 90s, and he had a couple Paul Reed Smiths, which was really cool, and he had a bunch of other different guitars too. And I asked him, you know, I said, hey, I hadn't seen you, you know, thought your store had closed, what are you doing now? And he said he does an online store, an eBay store, basically, and goes to shows and stuff. So, I mean, that can really work for a guy if you know what you're doing with your online presence and know your way around eBay and have an eBay store, know your way around guitars. You could, you know, have a, maybe not make your living on it, but maybe supplement it with something, or just have a nice hobby that, you know, you're buying and selling guitars, having a good time with it. So that's just a thought. So yeah, going to a guitar show, you mean you'll meet up with a bunch of different people. It's kind of like going to a giant store with all sorts of different, you know, dealers there, but a lot of different kinds of people looking at guitars, from your local professional musicians to your hobbyists, to your collectors. And it's really interesting to watch the people that are there that aren't dealers and gauge who is who and which category they fall into, if they're newbies or if they're collectors or professional musicians. You can kind of start to pick them out, and then you get to talking to people, whether it's a dealer or somebody who is just walking around there. You'll meet a lot of interesting people there, and I highly recommend it for anybody who's either, you know, if you've been into guitars for years or you've just started or whatever. Of course, I'd say if you just started, perhaps you should not bring a lot of money with you the first couple times you go, because if you don't know what you're getting into, you might get taken, and I don't really want you to get taken. I want you to be an informed buyer and an informed seller, too, so you know what you have when you sell. There's an earlier episode where I outlined how I go about gauging the value or what an individual piece may go for, or what somebody would be willing to spend on it. So right now I'm thinning the herd of my effect pedals, so I've got a lot of them, and well, not like a lot of them, but more than I need right now. So kind of doing a turnover right now, the ones that I really, really like, and ones that, like, you know, they're pretty good for a while there, but I'm upgrading maybe a little bit and letting somebody else enjoy how awesome these guitar pedals are that I used to use. So you know, I used to have like four or five overdrive pedals on my board, and now I'm down to two overdrives and a clean boost. So I'm kind of thinning that down. But yeah, I thought about taking some pedals to, and maybe a guitar to the show. However, if you do that, you know, you'll probably get it sold, but dealers will not give you retail on a pedal or a guitar. You know, I've covered that before. It's usually about half, actually, maybe even less. So if I have a pedal that I think would sell for $100, a dealer's not going to offer me $100, not even 90 or 80. They're probably going to offer me something around 50. And that's just the nature of it. You know, if you want cash now, that's what you get. It's like going to one of those cash now places or checks cashed here or whatever. That, you know, the, or payday advance places, which I don't recommend doing that. It's a ripoff. But, of course, you're dealing with credit and loans. And I don't know. If you listen to this show long enough, you know I have a very big distaste for debt and loans and credit, all that crap. But yeah, I mean, if you're wanting cash quick, you know, you could take a guitar pedal there and take offers and move it quickly. That's why I don't think that couple probably didn't get their, what they may have really been hoping for, or maybe really could have gotten if they would have, sold it online or gotten a booth there for, you know. I mean, a booth at one of those shows, just one table, isn't a whole lot whenever you have a $20,000 guitar that you could potentially sell. And, you know, you just take a $100 hit for a booth and then, you know, and sell your guitar for what it really should go for instead of, you know, potentially only selling it to a dealer and not having some. I don't know. Hopefully it worked out for them. I'd love to know. I should have talked to them. But I didn't. So, that woman was really, really kind to allow me to. She was like talking or joking around. She told me the history of the guitar. And, you know, it's a really good experience. Recommend it to anybody. And let me know if, you know, I'm in the Midwest. So, obviously, I'm not going to the Texas Guitar Show or that Guitar and Gun Show, which, oh my, I'd want to like spend the whole weekend there because, and that's just like, overload on some of my favorite stuff, you know, but, you know, wherever you are regionally, I'd love to hear from you what your local guitar show is that you really like to go to, or ones that you like to go to, or what's your favorite guitar show. If you're in the Midwest, if you like the Cincinnati Guitar Show or Chicago Guitar Show, or, you know, if you went to the Indy Guitar Show, I'd love to get your take on, you know, what, you know, it's a one-day event. I'd love to hear what your experience was, if you liked it, if you didn't like it, what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it, what you'd recommend, all those sorts of things. So, just love to hear back from you. Post your comments on Facebook. That's probably the best way to get back with me on this. So then it's shared with everybody, not just on my email inbox. If it's there, that's an audience of one. If you put it on Facebook, you know, right now I think there are like 117 people liking it and handful of people talking about it, whatever that means. And hopefully more people sharing and more people getting on there, because that's really where I'd like to have discussions about, you know, about episodes or just different things. So let me know. Now, obviously, you could tell from the audio quality of this particular episode as compared to the last one that this was a mobile podcast in my mobile podcasting studio. That is my Grand Am GT with 159,000 miles on it. Ooh, very close to going to 160,000, because I only have, 80 more miles to do that. So I'm guessing by the end of the week, we'll be flipping there. Just hope my car keeps holds out through the winter. So I've gotten a lot of questions here recently about different things, and I want to address those. I'm a little behind on that, and I know that you're asking questions. That's what you guys want to hear about. So that's what you want to hear from me. So that's what I need to talk about. So next episode, going to be answering some questions from the audience, and keep them coming. I really dig it. Really like hearing from you, hearing what you want to hear about, what you want to know about. Now keep your eye on the YouTube channel too, because I'm doing more videos now and have made more updates. And of course, you'll see my friends on there, people who have subscribed. Look at the friends and check out their videos too. There's some good stuff on there. If you haven't checked out ProGuitarShop.com or Gear Man Dude. I'm not sure if I'm friends with Play This Riff. There's a Play That Riff. I don't remember. But they show you how to play a lot of classic metal tunes and modern metal tunes. They have the like the actual guitar player from said band demoing the how to play the song. So that's really cool. And but yeah, check back with the YouTube channel. And I know there are a lot of people doing demos out there, and I know I'm doing them too. Just kind of adding to the mess out there. So eventually, I plan to do some videos that are instructional based, because, you know, I talk a lot about this stuff, and I talk about, you know, guitars and amps and different things, but I want to, you know, help educate you so that your guitar playing gets better, that you know more about how to play, because it's not all about buying an expensive guitar or an amp or anything like that. Because what it really comes down to is playing guitar and enjoying it. And that's what we really want to all do. That's all I wanted to do when I was a kid. Learning how to play guitar was, I mean, I didn't really know anything about a 59 Les Paul. I did know that I wanted a Marshall, but I wouldn't have known what to do with it other than turn it up really loud and drive my parents crazy and get in trouble. So then, enough of my rambling. I hope you dug the show. That pretty much wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. So please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on Facebook. Check the show notes for links, and of course that image of me. So you're actually going to see my face this time. So that's kind of crazy. I've been kind of hiding my identity. So you'll see that there. You won't see it often. If you liked what you heard today and you subscribe using iTunes or Zune, please let them know by writing a review. Again, go to Facebook. And if you like it, like it. And if you like it, share it. Share it with your friends on Facebook. Share it. Talk to people about it. Let people know what's going on here. Tell them about the show, what you like about the show, and encourage them to subscribe and listen to it and check it out and send me emails and all that good stuff. So thanks for tuning in again. This is Lauren Hunt signing off from the talk.